Happy Mother's Day. This is Pastor Jerry sharing the message for Sunday, May the 10th, entitled Hidden Treasure. In honor of our mothers, I'd like for you to think of one or two qualities or attributes of your mother, one or two things about your mom that you will never forget. Do you have something in mind? I'll tell you what. Let's pause this recording by clicking on the pause button. It's underneath the left side of the black recording bar on the web page that you're using. Pause the playback of today's message and then think about your answer for a minute. And if you're listening to this message with someone else, share what you remember about your mother, those one or two qualities that you'll never forget. Hopefully they're positive qualities. And if you're not with someone else, go ahead and pause your recording as well and take a minute to think about your mother's qualities. When you're all finished reflecting on those qualities or sharing them with each other, then press the play arrow again to continue with today's message. Welcome back to the message for today, May 10th, 2020, entitled Hidden Treasure. At the end of this message, you'll have the opportunity to share the positive qualities of your mother with the world if you'd like by entering a comment by clicking on the word comment that's underneath the black recording bar that's on the web page. It would be fun for everyone to read what you've treasured about your mother. My mother's name was Elsie. And her maiden name was Smith. Now, Smith was an English last name that described the trade of a metal worker. I'll remember Mom for being a builder. Oh, she was a housewife. She was a stay-at-home mom who raised myself and my two older daughters. But she also, around the house, was a builder. She was the brains and brawn behind the finishing of our basement. And then she single-handedly built a storage shed that we had in our backyard. And then there was the carport that she helped to build. She, my mother, taught me how to hammer a nail straight and how to saw a piece of lumber. I also remember that Mom was one proud lady. She was always right, even when she was wrong. In my eyes, she was still right. But early in my life, one day, when I was needed to find my mom to ask her a question, I found my mom in her bedroom, on her knees, leaning against her bed, hands folded, eyes closed, praying to our Lord. That's right. This one proud mama who came across as always being right habitually could be found on her knees in her bedroom praying, probably for me and my sisters, probably asking for help in raising us. I'm glad you can't see me now, because for some reason my allergies are kicking in as I share this about my mother. Sharing a quote from one of my favorite authors, Chris Tygreen, "The life of faith begins with a confession of bankruptcy. In order to accept our Savior, we must accept our need. We cannot have His righteousness without denying our own. We cannot have His holiness without confessing our sin. We cannot receive His redemption without owning up to our bondage. We are bankrupt before Him, and we are fools if we do not know it." Let me ask you the question, have you put on a mask lately? I remember the first time I did that when going into a grocery store here in Shippensburg. I was only one of a few customers in the store who was wearing a mask. To be honest with you, I was kind of embarrassed to be wearing one. And I remember having to talk to a couple different people while I was in that store, and quickly I announced a disclaimer telling them that I was healthy. Just ignore this mask that I'm wearing. I'm only wearing it just because I'm told to, and I'm not sick. Now, when you go anywhere in this world, if you find anyone not wearing a mask, you're tempted to scold them for not wearing one. Kneeling to pray to our Lord is like wearing a mask. Whenever I put on a mask, it reminds me and announces that I'm vulnerable. Hey, I may be sick, but I just don't know it. Or I'm announcing to everyone that, like them, I could be contagious. Or they could be contagious, and I don't want to catch their germs. I'm just being obedient to the protocol enacted by the leaders of our county, our commonwealth, and our country. But how humbling that act of wearing a mask is, and how ridiculous we look. But oh, how necessary this humble act of obedience is. Yet, have you noticed that those in authority, those making the rules, are the last people to wear a mask? Can someone please explain to me why those who are governing us don't wear a mask? Might it have something to do with pride? Well, I guess we won't find the answer to that question. And I guess we won't find any scriptures suggesting the use of masks. So, how about the act of kneeling? Are there any scriptures that encourage the need to bow? Well, doing a study of the scriptures for verses that mention the practice of bowing or kneeling, I found that there's over 100 references in the Bible. Bowing or kneeling before God or Jesus symbolizes worship, respect, honor. Kneeling during prayer or worship certainly is a sign of humility as we humbly recognize His Lordship. I'm not going to bore you to tears sharing all the references of kneeling and bowing in the scriptures. So I've grouped them into 5 categories, and I'll just give you an example of each one. All of these 5 categories are actually acts of humility and submission to God's wisdom. The first group would be ones in the Old Testament. There's numerous references to bowing or kneeling when worshiping God, and many times they are the leaders, they are the prophets, they are the godly men who are doing the kneeling. Solomon, David, Daniel. Oh, I love the example in Daniel chapter 6, where, if you remember, those satraps and governors and people went to King Darius asking, putting him up to the idea of writing an edict that if anybody worships any other god except for Darius, that they should be thrown in the lion's den. So, guess what Daniel did as soon as he heard that that law was passed? Well, let me read the verse. Verse 10 of chapter 6 of Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel knelt and prayed. That's the first group, the Old Testament group. The second group takes us to New Testament times, and all those who knelt in front of Jesus, and many times they were the lepers, the crippled, the blind, the beggars. Even his disciple Peter dropped to his knees in humility. You remember that miraculous catch of fish after they were fishing all night, didn't catch anything, and all of a sudden they caught more than what they could put in their boats. Scripture says in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The third group would be actually one person. Luke chapter 22, verses 41 and 42 reads as follows. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed." You recognize the "he" in that verse? That was Jesus. Jesus knelt down and prayed. In verse 42, he prayed, "Father, if it is your will to take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was to be crucified. So that's the third group, which is actually an individual. The fourth group is a group of Roman soldiers that knelt. Yeah, you probably don't remember, but Roman soldiers knelt in front of Jesus. They knelt during the crucifixion with sarcasm. Matthew 27, verse 29 says, "After twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Fourth group did it out of sarcasm, did it out of taunting and mocking. But we end with a fifth group, which is probably my favorite. Paul mentions it in Philippians chapter 2, and it's also mentioned in Revelation, where Scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those even under the earth. Verse 11 of chapter 2 of Philippians says, "Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Yes, sooner or later, all will be eventually kneeling. Today's lesson of spiritual wisdom actually begins with an attitude of bankruptcy, using Ty Green's metaphor, an attitude of groveling humility, kneeling. Not done out of manipulation, not done to get your own way, rather out of submission to God's wisdom, his way, his timing. It's certainly not done out of pride, pride for your meekness. Spiritual wisdom begins with the attitude, "I don't know it all," or "I can't do it by myself," and "I need you, God. I am wretched. My knowledge, training, education, experience is worthless compared to your wisdom, O God." Well, the scripture for today actually takes us to Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. This is where Jesus identifies the recipients of his hidden treasure, his hidden wisdom, the treasure of godly wisdom. Let me give you the context of those verses, those four verses, 21 through 24. Jesus had just sent out 35 pairs of missionaries to go into towns where he eventually would be visiting. These 70 people were going to be encouraging others that they would meet to prepare them that Jesus would be coming and sharing a message with them. These 70 people were also challenged to pray. To pray for more believers to join, as Scripture says, join in the harvest of lost souls. They weren't specially trained. They were not educated. They were not the creme de la creme. They were ordinary believers, followers of Jesus, who merely believed in him. And Scripture at verse, I believe it's 17, these came back all excited and bubbling over with happiness and joy and excitement. They share with Jesus when they said, even your name has power over the demons when we proclaimed it. that setting, that context, happens just before today's scriptures. It starts with verse 21 of that chapter, Luke 10, 21 to 24. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Verse 23, then he turned to his disciples, and he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. And verse 24, For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Jesus reminds us in this scripture that spiritual wisdom is available to those who believe, not to those who think they're worthy or privileged. In fact, it's just the opposite. Listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he describes himself. He writes, And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The hidden treasure of God's wisdom is available when we get rid of what we think is valuable, when we get rid of our treasure. The way to become spiritually wise is to declare our ignorance, our impurity, our ungodliness, our poverty, our sinful nature, our ultimate need for Jesus. It's ironic, but the hidden treasure of God's wisdom becomes visible when my life, the hidden treasure of God's wisdom becomes visible in my life when my vessel is broken. Traditional physical postures that we've used when praying and we've been taught through the years, for instance, closing our eyes when we pray, folding our hands, or even now sometimes we lift them up in adoration and praise while we are praying, or bowing our heads. These are all beneficial and helpful when showing submission to God's will and his wisdom. But I don't think anything comes close to the act of kneeling when humbling oneself to the wisdom and the will of our Heavenly Father. To conclude this message, together let's listen to the words of the song, Bow the Knee. It's been composed by Chris Macon, and this rendition has been sung by James Dobson. Bow the Knee.
On our journey, following the Lord. every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move he makes. But when turn to Him, bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and eternity. When you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of your King, bow the knee. When clouds surround us, the rain begins to fall, and a cold and stormy wind begins to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God doesn't know. But when the storms arise. Don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. And bow the knee. Trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. And believe the one who holds eternity. When you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of